Welcome on into Salt City FC. I'm Jay Ketch.
He is Sean Walker, and we are live on location once again at the RSL Academy pitch side, as we like to say, after training down here. Sean, how are you, my friend?
Excuse me, sir. I would really appreciate it if you use the actual formal name of this fine academy establishment. The Zions Bank Real Academy, presented by Vizio, sponsored by Vivint Smart Home.
Vizio and Vivint Smart Home are part of this whole deal?
I don't know. Probably not.
Okay. Wow. I was like, now they're really getting
probably not.
They're really getting deep with these sponsorships.
It's the RSL Academy in Harriman, though. Big shout out to Taryn Meyer, though, for hooking us up. Mm-hmm. Matt Gash from previous podcasts is on assignment in Tucson. So Taryn helped us out, hooked us up, found us a room. Also helped us out with our upcoming interview. We'll get to that shortly.
Yep.
But Jake, let's talk about RSL first, because RSL was back in Utah this week, even though they weren't supposed to be?
Yeah, pit stop at home. They, of course, were in Hawaii over the weekend, participating in the Pacific Rim Cup is what they call it?
The Pacific Rim Cup, featuring two MLS sides and two Japanese sides in separate divisions.
Yeah, so when they were traveling home, they were flying through Seattle International Airport.
Is that bad?
SeaTac.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, this past weekend was probably the worst time you could possibly have scheduled it because historic snowfall in the Seattle area, Pacific Northwest in general, inundated with snow. I think they said it was the 1940s the last time the snow was this bad in the Pacific Northwest, particularly in Seattle. So RSL spent 14 hours in SeaTac, the Seattle International Airport, trying to get back to Utah. Or no, they were going to fly straight to Arizona. After the multiple delays, they decided, well, you know what? Let's go home and go to Utah for 2 days, train. They had one match that they had scheduled against the New York Red Bulls has been canceled, as far as I am aware. But they'll head to Arizona on Friday and continue on with the Desert Diamond Cup. Is that what they're still calling it?
Well, first they're going to play a game at Phoenix yes. Rising FC. That was the runner-up in USL last year, now the USL Championship.
Can we just call it the Championship?
USL Championship.
Whatever.
As opposed to USL League 1 and USL League 2.
Okay.
Home of Park City FC.
What's up, PDL?
What's up, PDL, indeed. So they're going to play at Phoenix Rising FC over the weekend, and then they'll move on to Tucson for their annual preseason foray in Tucson, Arizona.
Is it the Mobile Mini Sun Cup, or is it the Desert Diamond Cup still? I don't remember what they're calling it now.
I'm sure it's got some name. I'm not sure the name.
Fair enough, but these upcoming matches.
Who do you think I am, Alex Behar? Come on, I don't deal in facts.
You should be. But Alex is. We're recording, and he's just gave us a look. He's just across the room typing up a story. But Sean, let's talk a little bit about what happened in Hawaii over the weekend here. Of course, RSL plays two matches. This is a tournament format where you play your first match. The Vancouver Whitecaps are the other MLS side in this tournament. So they both squared off against a Japanese side, and then the winners advanced to play for the championship. So RSL started things off with, I think, a rather impressive win, all things considered.
Impressive. Nice little 2-1 win over Iwaki FC.
Mm-hmm. I should have said Iwaki FC.
Nice little 2-1 win over Iwaki FC for RSL. Bit of a come from behind 2-1 win. Mm-hmm. Nick Beisler at the death on the back post. Good game winner. I think his first game winner, at least in an RSL uniform, I believe. So certainly a little bit of promise there. And let's go through that first game first, I guess. RSL's defense looked a little ragged, a little haggard.
We can extend that out to the entire weekend if we really want to.
Well,
right?
Sure. Yeah. But in this one in particular, Iwagi rode a very high line, liked to press them very high, mm-hmm. Caused a lot of problems for Real Salt Lake, particularly that back line, particularly in that goal that they scored.
Yes.
It was looking like maybe RSL was just going to kind of hang on for a 1-1 draw in a lot of ways until Beisler gets that goal there at the end. Talking with Mike Pecky after that match, though, and then when they made their random pit stop here in Utah, He seemed pretty pleased with how Iwaki played them. He said it was the type of press and the type of kind of the type of attack, the type of fitness level that they need to see at this point in the preseason to sort of get ready for the year. And RSL responded very well, gets that goal, goes on with a win, and advances to face Varin Nagasaki.
Varin Nagasaki, yes.
Yeah.
There's a V in front of the Varin.
I probably butchered that name somewhere, Varin Nagasaki, but... I apologize. I don't speak Japanese.
No, it's okay.
But yeah, and that result was maybe not so great.
Yeah, well, going back to the Iwaki thing, I know that if you look at their, you look them up online, it says they're a sixth division side in Japan, but they're very much, they're moving up the ranks in the Japanese pro divisions, and they've got ambitions of being a big-time club, and you could see it in their play. They played very well. They had RSL under the gun from the get-go, and I really do feel like we talked to Mike Pecky during his availability, and he mentioned the fact that he actually appreciated them coming out and really putting RSL under the gun because it helped his team, I think, to start their official preseason matches with an opponent like that. It really got them going, and rather than easing them in against a team that was overmatched, Iwaki, in Mike Pecky's mind, he said, was the better Japanese side of the two, even though they're the lower division squad.
Yeah, and it was a team that, quite frankly, it surprised me when I found out what league they play in. They play in a league that's somewhat regional in nature. I think they play a 13 or 15 game season somewhere in there. But that also gives them a lot of time to train together outside of the season, to mm-hmm. be cohesive, to kind of build on their year. Pecky was saying that they kept calling out Red Bull RB Leipzig, RB Leipzig, RB Leipzig. So they obviously know the international game, and they know how they want to play and what they want to look like, maybe who they want to emulate in some ways. Yes. And so if you're playing an RB Leipzig light, Japan's version of RB Leipzig maybe, that certainly is maybe a good place to kind of build off in this at this stage in the preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and then, of course, they face off against Varin Nagasaki, and... Yeah, you said it, Sean. It was not a great match. Nagasaki kind of controlled things. But RSL did have their possession in this game, but Nagasaki got them on the counter. And I think the one...
Found some holes in that back line.
Exactly. It goes back to the reference I made to the defense having issues all weekend long. And I just still feel like RSL is still trying to just get some continuity along that back line, get the right combination of four guys to play together. And to be honest, it's the preseason still, so you don't need to really necessarily worry about that. So
results don't matter.
Yeah, so get the guys out there, give them a chance to play and see how they perform. But I think the big positive that came out of this was a very fine goal for 17-year-old. Is it Julian or is it Julian Vasquez?
Both, from what I've heard.
Okay. Well,
so if he's English, Julian.
Yeah.
He grew up in Utah. He's a native of Nibley or Hiram.
Something like that,
Somewhere up there in the Cache Valley. But he is also Latino, so Julian works as well.
But a 17-year-old pro who just signed with RSL's first team, man, what a fine goal to open your account on. I thought it was a good effort individually for him, a good showing, all things considered. And he's wearing that number 27. Could we have a second year in a row of a guy wearing number 27 doing big things for RSL? I'm not counting on it, but... Kind of funny to see him wearing Corey Baird's old number.
Maybe so. I mean, maybe so. And I can say, I mean, when they first introduced Vasquez, signed him to a contract, it was towards the end of last season. He's only 17 years old, but they brought him to the stadium, gave him the full run out, him and his family, parents mostly, a couple siblings, in front of the fans at Rio Tinto Stadium at halftime. And they brought him up. I remember they brought him up to the press box to talk to a couple of us that were there at that game. And we heard from several people that they were very excited for the potential of this teenager signing a full first-team contract with Real Salt Lake. He's a product of the esteemed RSL Academy system, mm-hmm. But he's also a local kid. He's from Cache Valley. He spent time at both he spent a lot of time at the academy, and all reports, everything I've heard is that he's just been on another level in a lot of ways from that kind of development system. He really is And I don't want to overuse this word or overhype this word, but he's kind of a progeny in a lot of ways. He's, and I say that simply, you know, I don't know if he's going to be a star. I don't know how good he's going to be. No one really knows for sure. But I say that in simply a way that he understands the game differently for somebody as young as he is. His game smarts are that good. His kind of his natural instincts are that good. And I think you saw that a little bit in that goal against Nagasaki, his first professional goal, albeit in a preseason friendly.
Yeah.
You saw a little bit of those smarts of just knowing what to do, knowing where to be, his positioning, where to put the ball, that sort of thing. I think you saw kind of a taste of why Real Salt Lake's front office, coaching staff, scouting department, et cetera, is so excited for this kid and his future.
Yeah, and if he turns out to be everything that they project him to be, well, I know there's been a lot of consternation and angst about academy kids leaving RSL's academy, going overseas, and RSL not getting anything out of it. Well, they have at least one young man on this squad, and they've signed a number of homegrowns this past offseason, and they've done it over the last few years as well. There's some talent there. So if this kid develops and you do ultimately sell him at some point, your return on investment, that ROI, could be very beneficial.
Yeah, and everything I've heard is that he'll probably see most of his minutes this year with Real Monarchs in the second division. This could be a reason to go to a couple Monarchs games.
Yeah.
Because he's a kid who I think a lot of fans are going to be very interested to watch and follow his development as he works his way up through the ranks, from the academy to the Monarchs to the RSL first team. I think he'll get a lot of time with the Monarchs, probably be called up for some nice spot duty with RSL. Mm-hmm. If he makes an impression in those all of those opportunities, you could just see more and more time with the first team and then eventually move on to even bigger clubs. And because he's under contract, mm-hmm. That means a little extra cha-ching, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he does move on. So yeah. I'm sure a lot of people here at Real Salt Lake wouldn't be opposed to him maybe picking up an offer like a certain former Vancouver winger last year.
Yeah.
Something of the like.
Yeah.
I'm sure they wouldn't be entirely opposed to it, so... Definitely a guy to keep an eye on, though, I think. That's Julian Vasquez.
Yes. All right, Sean. So RSL heads to the Valley of the Sun this weekend to face off against Phoenix Rising FC. Then they'll be headed to Tucson for games next week. We'll cover those more in depth on our next podcast. But let's talk for a minute here about Real Monarchs before we get to our special guest on today's show. The Monarchs have started their preseason in the Wasatch... Is it the Wasatch Cup? I don't remember what they're calling it now.
The Wasatch Winter Cup?
Wasatch Winter Cup, you're right, correct. Yeah, so it's their version of a preseason tournament. They have set up with two other USL championship sides, Reno 1868, and I believe it is Sacramento is also coming in.
Colorado
Springs Switchbacks coming in, not Sacramento FC. But this is a big opportunity for them to get their preseason started with a bang this coming weekend.
Yeah, and a couple other preseason games are going to bring up the Division I team at Utah Valley University to play friendlies. A couple friendlies up here, a few other local clubs and the like that they're going to kind of bring through here, because it's not just preseason with RSL, it's preseason with the Monarchs as well. They've obviously got to get going, and this is a club that made a lot of changes in the offseason, and we're seeing a lot of signings kind of trickle out with Real Monarchs. Guys who the coaching staff and the front office hope can kind of take that team to the next level. They just barely announced the signing of one Luis Palma,
yep.
Who is a Honduran international.
Attacking midfielder, yep.
Yeah, attacking mid.
19 years old.
Who's showing a lot of promise. Some really nice some new goalkeepers here under the wings. In Todd Morin and Evan Finney. And if we know one thing, it's that the Monarchs know how to produce and develop and move forward goalkeepers.
Yes, they do.
So I don't know a whole lot about these guys, I'll be totally honest, but this is a club and an organization in particular that knows how to move goalkeepers along. So I'll probably give them the benefit of the doubt until proven wrong. But maybe most importantly, Jake, we'll transition into our interview here, is the Monarchs have a new coach.
They do.
We spoke briefly about it a couple weeks ago. Martin Vasquez mm-hmm. is now, or Vasquez, is now the man in charge, a longtime RSL Academy director, both in Casa Grande, Arizona, and now here in Harriman. He's getting a chance to go back to the coaching realm with Real Monarchs. And this is a guy who he's had chances to go back to coaching. He coached in MLS with the Galaxy and Chivas USA for a time. He spent a brief spell with Bayern Munich as a coach. He's had chances to leave the academy to be a coach elsewhere, notably in USL Pro a few times.
Yes.
But he's wanted to stay with Real Salt Lake. He really likes his organization. He's stayed loyal to the organization. And it's pretty cool that he gets a chance now to move back into coaching, to transition back into coaching with this opening with Real Monarchs.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the exciting part. So let's get to it without further ado. Here is our interview with Real Monarchs SLC head coach Martin Vasquez.
Here with Martin Vasquez. Coach, first things first, with this new job, what about it excites you?
It excites me because I continue to, you know, be with the club. It excites me because I think some of the academy players are ready for bigger challenges. It excites me because, you know, I think Dan and Craig and Elliot and Andy, you know, they've done an excellent job of bringing in younger players from other countries to be part of Monarchs and to develop them to the first team or, you know, to play at the highest level. So it's a promotion that for me especially, you know, gives me the opportunity to continue to do what I love doing, and that's, you know, developing players, that's coaching professional players, and, you know, being on the field.
It's obviously not your first stint in coaching, though. Spent time with the LA clubs, LA Galaxy, Chivas USA, may they rest in peace, Bayern Munich, a little club over across the pond called Bayern Munich that I'm sure a few people have heard about. So you obviously have plenty of coaching experience. While you were with the academy and during the past several years, you had options to kind of move on and to go coach elsewhere, but you stayed with the organization, you stayed with RSL, you were very loyal to the organization. But has there ever been maybe a little bit of, I don't know, like an itch that you kind of want to get back into coaching a little bit more and get back into sort of that groove and that life and that sort of line that you kind of came from?
Yes and no. You know, I say yes because when you coach academy, the younger groups, you really have to coach, and I love coaching and teaching. Yes, I miss, you know, the adrenaline and the stress and the competition of the professional level. But when I started coaching the academy, you know, I started seeing, you know, young players with ambitions, with goals, with dreams. And I was very motivated, you know, very occupied, very excited to be able to help some of these guys, you know, to play at the next level. And when we started doing that, I had other opportunities during this time. I had a chance to go to Mexico. I had a chance to go to Central America and be coach of a U-20 national team and be the director for the youth national teams. I had an opportunity to coach at the USL Pro. But what I was doing in Arizona, and then we came here and we continued to do, that made me, you know, that I was being a good influence or impacting some young players and helping some young players. So I have been enjoying that, and that's why I didn't miss coaching at the level, or that's why I didn't take those opportunities.
What is it about this place, this organization, obviously the academy in particular, but just the overall Real Salt Lake organization, what is it about it that is maybe so special to you? That would cause you to kind of stay here and stay so loyal despite all these kind of advancing offers?
I think it's been the support, you know, starting with Mr. Hansen. I think it has been the support with, you know, the GMs before, the coaches before. the GMs of now and the coaches now, they are supporting the players we're developing in the academy, and that's huge. You know, maybe if that wasn't the case, maybe I would have taken another opportunity somewhere else. But I think Mr. Hansen, in the past, providing scholarships, providing the support for the Brooks Lennons, the Justin Glads, the Sebastian Saucedos, Aaron Herreras, Corey Birds, before and now, the Luis Arriaga, Ochoas, Julian Vasquez, Steve Hasso, Jordan Peña of now, I think that has been the biggest factor for me to continue with RSL. Also, the support of before, Jason Christ, Jeff Kazar, and now Mike Petke. I think in this league, in the MLS right now, somebody like Mike, believing in those young players and getting results and doing well. I mean, that's why it's so rewarding, because what we're doing here, our head coach believes in those players, and that's priceless.
With the setup of RSL, it's all kind of a pyramid. You got RSL at the top, you got the Monarchs just below them, but even these academy teams, they're all supposed to filter up. So you moving from the academy side now up to the Monarchs, what are the differences between the two levels, and what are the similarities?
Well, the similarities are one of the similarities is one of the reasons why, I took the job, and that's developing players. And it's exciting because it's a bigger challenge. The U-19s compete against U-19s. Mm-hmm. U-17s compete against U-17s, and a lot of times against U-19s. And that's where we have seen the biggest improvement in development. Now, being with Monarchs, our 19s, our 18, U-18s, our U-19s are going to be competing against professional soccer players, against men. And I think that's going to accelerate their development. And coaching, coaching to win, coaching to compete, coaching to, establish an idea, a style of play. And that has been also the biggest factor, because from when we started RSL Academy, we've been playing a certain style, and those the players that start young, they develop into creative soccer players, into good soccer players, so that allows them to play at the next level. We look at different dimensions. We look at their IQ of the game. We look at their physical side, at their tactical side, and also, young men that have goals and have dreams. And, when you are able to find young players like that, young men like that, with a little bit of structure, with the meaningful competition, with, pushing them, they accomplish their goals. They rise to the top and they respond.
I've asked this of each Monarchs coach going all the way back, because it was so long ago, right? Going all the way back to when Freddy Juarez first took the job. So I'll ask you the same thing, but how do you kind of balance that sort of development, that pyramid, if you will, of RSL, where you're trying to develop players and eventually funnel them onto the first team? That's obviously the ideal within this structure. How do you balance that then with Real Monarchs being kind of its own club, its own organization? You guys obviously want to win a USL championship title. I think it's fair to say, you're not going to play the season if you don't want to win the title overall. So how do you kind of balance those two things of wanting to win, but also wanting to develop players and move them along into the first team, into lengthier careers, international careers, etc.? How do you kind of balance those two things?
Well, first and foremost, we want to win. I think professional soccer is about winning, even academy level. We want to come and when we are wearing, the RSL crest, and we have a scrimmage and we have a game or we have a playoff game, we want to win. With Monarchs, that's going to be first goal, first objective. We want to compete. To compete, you know, we have to train. We have to have the right players, you know, that have that strength, that have that in them. You know, they want to win and develop. Also, I think the way we're going to, balance it out is putting everything together. And, you know, I think the main goal is to win. The main goal is to win trophies. We have to start the season with those goals in mind. Everyone, the coaching staff, mainly the club, coaching staff, players. And then also, you know, have goals, you know, to win games, to make the playoffs. And also, you know, how many academy players can we play during the season of Monarchs? Is it three? Is it four? Is it five? And then at the end of the season, you know, we do an evaluation of the season, and you know, that's when we find out, you know, how to, you know, balance it out. But at the beginning of the season, we have a roster, we have academy players. Obviously, the academy players we're going to see when they're ready to compete, when they're ready to be on the field, surrounded by the professionals, players that we have in Monarchs or in the Monarchs roster, and players that come down from the first team to play. I think if we find a good balance of that, we will accomplish these goals that I was talking about.
Martin, in the news recently, I guess in the soccer world, is a lot of we're seeing the MLS academies, they're putting out all kinds of talent. RSL Academy among the foremost in doing so, but you are losing talent to foreign leagues without any compensation. You've been on the academy side, you're now on the professional side. Is there anything in your mind that's a reasonable goal for these academies and the first teams to set up to keep some of this talent or at least get the compensation for losing that talent?
I think our league, I think the federation, I think, you know, they're trying to find ways, you know, because we have been doing a very good job. And also, another MLS academies have been doing a very good job. I think, you know, for us, if there's a special talent that we say this kid is special, I think what we need to do is sign him young and have a projection, have a plan.
Okay.
Meaning, you know, Monarchs games, meaning training with the first team, you know, have a pathway for him. Mm-hmm. So before an agent or a scout from anywhere, we already see as a U15, as a U16, we see that special talent. We know that in 3 years with all these games, with the academy, competitive games, training with Monarchs, playing with Monarchs, you know, he will get there. Then I think as a club, we have to start signing those talented players, those special talented players, you know, at younger and younger.
So it's just a matter of getting them under contract.
Correct.
Okay.
Talking with Martin Vazquez here on the South City FC podcast, and Coach, we'll let you go here shortly. Thanks again for taking the time to talk with us about your new job as the Monarchs, about the academy, the development of this pyramid, which I'll just give you all the credit. You've been kind of the architect of this entire system. So,
I can't take all the credit. You know, I think we have an excellent, you know, I think we have an excellent coaching staff. I think we have guys like Freddie that, you know, he was the main pioneer. We have guys like Mike Krause, like Juan Fresquez right now that are, you know, part of the staff. And, you know, I think it's been a teamwork, you know. I don't want to take all the credit. I want to make sure that it's there's been a lot of support for these young men to get there.
Yep.
And it has to do with, you know, their parents, their teachers, their counselors, us coaches, you know, getting there. But, you know, us, director of the academy, and everybody believing in what we're doing, and everybody passionate, and the support from, you know, our upper management, I think it's been key.
Like, modest and a humble man, too. That's why we like you, Martin. But I've got to be honest with you. We've duped you a little bit. We tricked you a little bit. We told you that we're a soccer podcast here at Salt City FC. We're not actually a soccer podcast. We just kind of put that on the front. We really like food. We like Netflix shows. We talked last week about a certain Netflix series that Jake and I are both watching. Who is Martin Vasquez kind of away from the soccer pitch when you're not coaching, when you're not neck deep into the academy, you know, for all 20 minutes a day that is? Is there something that you like to do, something that you enjoy, maybe a particular restaurant here on the Wasatch Front that you enjoy as much as anything, or like a Netflix series that you're binging or anything like that? Or who's kind of Martin Vasquez?
I love Netflix. You know, I like to go in there and watch the series that they show that they have. I guess, you know, I'm not 24/7, you know, all soccer or all coach or here. I love Utah. You know, I have come in and you know, it has so much to offer. I enjoy, you know, going to the gym. I enjoy being at home. When I'm not here, I like to be home. I live in the Draper area. And on 123rd, where I live, you know, there's some great dessert places, you know, or Leatherby's. I don't know. It's not a commercial. I hope not.
No, you're fine.
But there's a few places like that. And, you know, I like to go there and sit down and indulge myself. You know, I think I'm human.
You got a little bit of a sweet tooth?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I do. And, you know, food, I like to cook, or I like to go, you know, check out the places, you know, in the area. So my family is in the LA area. When they come visit, I like to hang out with them. When we go play over there, I like to hang out with them. And, you know, that's what I enjoy doing, you know. But I'm a passionate person. I'm a passionate coach. I like to be on the field and you know, I like to be there because our academy players and now all the Monarchs players, they want to train, they want to play, they want to compete, and they enjoy, and I enjoy that very much.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking all the time. You joined us for far too long, but we can tell you have the passion because your answers are so in-depth. I think it's the easiest way to say that. So thanks again for taking the time to join us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for, you know, the invitation. And you guys do a good job of, you know, being soccer commentators or soccer connoisseurs.
Sure. We'll go with that. We're
going connoisseurs is a good word.
Thanks again, Coach.
Yeah, thanks, Coach.
All right, there you go, Martin Vasquez, and appreciate him taking the time. It was awesome to catch up with him. And, man, he's got some in-depth thoughts about multiple things. I was very intrigued by his thoughts on, especially, and I asked the question, so I'm being selfish here, but I asked the question about getting compensation for guys going overseas out of the academy and making sure you take care of me. He said, simply, we just got to do a better job identifying talent at a young age, getting them under contract, so that way, when they do, if they do move on, we do get some of that compensation.
Yeah, and I think that's why you're seeing this flurry of academy kids signing either with the second team Real Monarchs or with Real Salt Lake directly in whatever way, is because RSL does, they do want to be able to receive some kind of dividend for these players that keep moving overseas, oftentimes at a very young age. A lot of times the type of signings and the type of funds that they receive, they're a little bit discretionary to some of the big clubs in Europe. You know, it's really easy for a club like Manchester City or Liverpool or Bayern Munich or whomever to go and drop a couple million on a prospect, whether or not he pans out, simply because that's the economy in Europe. But if you talk about having to split a little bit of that with an MLS club, it suddenly looks like a little bit more money just because of where MLS is on the world stage.
Yeah, and that even filters down to like Werder Bremen. We've seen them pick up a number of players recently as well. So once again, thanks to Martin Vasquez for joining us. All right, we'll step aside here, come back, and you talk about some MLS news. Sean has promised me that I will be astounded, stunned, and amazed. So we'll get to that next, right here on Salt City FC. Salt City FC. I'm Jay Catch. He is Sean Walker. All right, Sean, we talked a lot about the local soccer scene. We're going to go with some MLS news here. And a former Mexican international is back in MLS. And it's a name that I think a lot of U.S. men's national team fans, and especially Mexican national team fans, would absolutely recognize.
Yeah, Jake, what do you think of when I say the name Marco Fabian?
Well, I think of him just being incredible on the field, plain and simple, I guess is the easiest way to say it. I've seen him tear the heart out of the United States men's national team a few times. Like, he's just he's
that Gold Cup a couple of years ago comes to mind.
Yeah, he's one of those players that he leaves an impression and you always remember how good of a player he is, and he's coming to MLS.
Yeah, so two-time World Cup honoree selection.
Yes.
Selection, I think. Marco Fabian, most recently of Eintracht Frankfurt in the German Bundesliga. He's coming to Major League Soccer. And so naturally, as we look at guys who are pretty well accomplished, maybe getting a little bit older in years, yeah, already played internationally.
Is he 29 now?
Yeah, he's coming up on 30. He played internationally, spent time in the Bundesliga with a pretty significant club, you know. I mean, Eintracht's not necessarily Bayern Munich, but it's not Hanover either by any means. He's looking to come back, stateside, kind of wants that, you know, quote-unquote American experience, I guess, as a lot say. You know, you look at types of clubs who sign guys like Fabian and you think, okay, well, the usual sort of have to be in on this guy, you know, LA Galaxy or maybe LAFC, yes, now, or Toronto FC, you know, New York City, Red Bulls, maybe DC United. They just barely made a splash with Wayne Rooney, right? There are all these clubs that come to mind.
Yeah.
You know, these big powers, these super clubs. Seattle Sounders. You know, we got to mention them. Sorry, RSL fans, but we have to mention them. Marco Fabian is signing with perhaps the biggest and the most explosive and the most elegant super club in all of Major League Soccer. And by that, I mean the Philadelphia Union.
Well, let's... Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, you actually have a point there, because Philadelphia is one of the bigger cities in the United States of America.
It is. To be fair, it is. Very
a
much.
Very vibrant scene of sports. We're talking American football, basketball, all different things.
And Chester loves its soccer.
I was going to say, Chester, Pennsylvania loves its soccer. But in all honesty, you would think Philadelphia should be one of the big boy clubs in this league, being in one of the bigger cities here in the United States of America. But Philadelphia, the Union, have just been kind of a middling club throughout their history. They had a breakout season a year ago, and I don't think really anybody expected it from them. At least I didn't expect it from them. And to get a player of this caliber in Fabian, I think that is an indication that, hey, they're willing now to say, okay, we have pieces in place to make a move here. Let's go get a couple more guys that can really help us, maybe push us over the top. And they believe that a guy of Fabian's caliber can do that for them.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail right on the head there with this signing. This is a signal that the Union want to be players in this league, and they want to be spenders in this league. This is becoming a spending league. You know, the best front offices are those that spend money, whether that's in developing their academy, like clubs like RSL and the Red Bulls and FC Dallas, mm-hmm, et cetera, have, or whether that's spending money on big name signings, a la the Galaxy, a la LAFC,
Atlanta,
a la Manchester City Light in
Manchester
New York.
Manchester City Light,
you know,
I love it.
ATL United, et cetera. I mean, you need money. You need particularly ownership groups with deep pockets that are willing to invest in this league and invest in the product on the field to bring in names or to develop names, whatever it may be, if you want to be successful in this league. Philadelphia, for a while, you're right, Jake, they weren't that. They just weren't. For whatever reason, they didn't have, whether it was ownership or front office personnel or whoever, they just didn't have that. Now Ernie Stewart's come in with that job. He's really getting set as sporting director there in Philadelphia, and I think this is a nice change. This signals a nice change in the overall philosophy of that club, and one that we'll see if it leads to a lot more success down the road. But track record-wise, it should.
Yeah, well, and I think it's more Ernie Stewart put them on this path because he's since moved on to be in the United States men's national team GM, but he's got this team right, plain and simple. He came over from the Dutch Eredivisie over there. He spent most of his coaching and front office experiences from overseas, and he brought kind of that mentality to Philadelphia. And I think, yeah, this is just them saying, okay, yeah, we're no longer going to be the pushover club. We're going in now, and we're going to be a power player here. I think.
Yeah. Sorry. I read that wrong in the release. He just started scouting. Yeah. Stewart just started scouting.
He got them on the right path and in terms of chasing Fabian. So it's now where you look at it, and I think they may see a void here in the Eastern Conference. Toronto FC, they had their run there where they had the magical season. They fell off this past year. Atlanta United has sold off a number of players, so maybe I think Philadelphia sees an opportunity here to really move up the pecking order in the Eastern Conference, and this is their way to do it. So we'll see how it all shakes out. The season's coming up. We're, 3 weeks away from things opening up March 2nd, the weekend of March 2nd. Things get going. RSL will be on the road to Houston. I'm not sure where Philadelphia will be playing, but
They open with TFC?
They open with Toronto, okay.
March 2nd against Toronto.
Well, but this league this year, I'm excited to cover it because I think there's a lot of storylines all over the place, and Philadelphia just added one big one right there.
Yep, very much so.
All right, Sean, we'll take a time out here. We'll come back. Final segment of the show, of course, it is added time where we catch up on the news that we haven't touched on earlier in the podcast, mainly news in this world of soccer that is a little strange or out there, and we'll get to that next, right here on Salt City FC. As we close out today's edition of Salt City FC, thanks again for joining us. I'm Jake. He is Sean. And Sean, of course, in added time here, we've got kind of the stories that didn't fit earlier in the podcast or a little bit off the beaten path when it comes to soccer news. Would you like to go first this week or should I? I know you've got a big name in terms of what you're doing.
I do have a name. You know what? Why don't you go first this week? Okay. Because you always defer to me, so I got to return the favor.
Okay, well, mine's a name too, but it's a name in a different sport. It has a local connection as well.
Uh-oh.
Name J.J. Watt sound familiar?
Ooh, I've heard of him.
Yeah, so
I've heard of him. That's a former Altastar Kaylee Ojai's boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Also an all-pro defensive end for the Houston Texans in the NFL.
Oh, I guess that too.
Former AP Defensive Player of the Year, if you might have heard.
That too.
Well, he was on...
I just know he's Kalia's boyfriend.
He was on another podcast, Barstool Sports Pardon My Take. And, of course, his girlfriend is Kealia Ojai, who is the former Alta High star. Well, on the podcast, he was telling a story about how he believed... Well, he was telling Ojai that he thought within a full year of intense training, he could become a Premier League keeper when he's done playing football. He was convinced of this fact.
Okay.
Well, he said, quote...
He's confident.
He said,
that's
quote,
good.
I'm athletic, I'm agile, I can move, I can use my hands just like batting footballs. It's not that hard. Watt said he told Ojai... Said that Ojai then quickly wiped that dream from Watt's future when they went to a soccer field and he tried out his skills. I'm reading a quote. This comes from the Pardon My Take podcast. I probably should have pulled the audio, but I found this late. So it says, quote, she put it, not even on the penalty spot, the 18-yard line, which is the big box far away. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop this no problem, Watt said. Continuing, quote, she smoked the ball past my face so, insert expletive here, fast. No chance. You could give me 5 years training. No chance. It's insane how fast and how hard she can kick the ball, and I can only imagine, obviously, what Ronaldo would do flying one past my face. So there you go. J.J. Watt's dream of being a Premier League keeper died very quickly.
Shattered. Shattered at the feet of his
Kealia Ohai.
Of his girlfriend.
Hey, way to go, Kealia. Way to say, okay, you're going to put up or shut up. We're going to go find out right now. So she showed him what's what. And J.J. Watt, great football player, but yeah, stick to American football.
Yeah, stick to your day job. However, J.J., if you ever want to be on the podcast, call us. We're available.
For that matter, we want Kealia if we're
or Kealia, yeah. Or Kealia. All right, let's dive back into actual football, Jake.
Okay.
Because there was a match this past week that I think a lot of people missed. And, in fact, I know a lot of people missed because only 5,232 fans officially showed up to the venerated soccer venue that is Cashman Field in downtown Las Vegas.
Well, from what I hear about Cashman Field... Okay, we'll get into that.
It used to be a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
There's a certain local baseball broadcaster who was highly critical of Cashman Field.
We won't get into that.
Yeah.
But the Las Vegas Lights. So we talked about Real Monarchs opening up their preseason. Las Vegas Lights FC, fellow member of the USL Championship, opened up their preseason as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not with a USL club. Not with a soccer club. They opened with full-fledged Major League Soccer side and one-time treble contender, Toronto FC.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jake, we talk about how results don't matter in the preseason.
Yeah.
Let's hope for TFC's sake results don't matter because Toronto went down to Vegas and lost by a squeaking thin margin of 5-1. 5-1.
Okay.
Now, there are a lot of extenuating circumstances that we obviously won't get into because it's not nearly as much fun. TFC didn't roll out most of their first team, obviously. Greg Vanney, head coach, he was in attendance. But it's questionable how much coaching he actually did with that final result. But still, 5-1 win by the Las Vegas Lights over Toronto FC. And, Jake, I'm going to throw you under the bus here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because before about 5 minutes ago, did you know who Las Vegas Lights FC's head coach and technical director is?
Wouldn't be able to tell you at all.
Well, here's the guy talking about how much support his club in Las Vegas should receive after a somewhat sparsely attended preseason friendly against Toronto FC.
Crowd was great. Yeah, we'll grow in numbers. We had a lot of people read about this in the paper, see it on online, and see it on Twitter and Instagram, and say, "Wait, what? 5-1?" So we'll see what the reaction is. But I wouldn't miss that Colorado game. That's going to be fun too.
That was former U.S. international and Twitter legend Eric Winalda.
Hey,
Eric Winalda. So if that's not a reason to go to Vegas, because we all need more reasons to go to Vegas.
Yes.
If that's not a reason to go to Vegas, it's for Eric Winalda and Las Vegas Lights FC, current CONCACAF treble challengers, after their 5-1 preseason win over Toronto FC.
Hey, I didn't know that Winalda was coaching in Las Vegas, but like you said, Sean, all the more reasons to go to Vegas I will take. So, awesome.
Go hit up Cashman Field.
Absolutely. All right, Sean, we're going to
support local soccer.
Absolutely, we should. We're going to wrap this up. Any final thoughts from you before we go?
As I tell you every week, not necessarily in this format, but in others, I would just like to tell all of our beloved listeners of Salt City FC to, as we're getting closer to the 2019 MLS season, be excellent to each other.
All right. With that, we'll call it a day. I'm Jake, he's Sean. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace.